Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Tuesday, the 22nd day of March 2011, and we have former top CIA briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, Ray McGovern, to give us his take on Libya and what's unfolding in the Middle East. He'll be joining us coming up in the third hour today. Webster Griffin Tarpley is going to pop in for just one segment, either at the bottom of this hour or at the start of the next hour. We've confirmed he's on. We just don't know what time yet, and we're working that out right now. It has been confirmed, and Tarpley mentioned this yesterday, but now it's in U.S. news and Russian news. Libyan assault planned months ahead. Well, of course it was planned months ahead. It was globalist-backed special forces from the U.S. and England. Now you've seen that U.S. aircraft probably shot down. They claim it crashed because of technical problems, mechanical difficulties right outside of Benghazi. That, yes, U.S. aircraft are in there, bombs away, and so are U.S. special forces. They've got amphibious invasion ships off the coast, and that is in the cards. But Libyan assault planned months ahead. General Wesley Clark, proof Libyan invasion was planned 10 years in advance. U.S. General Wesley Clark explains that the Bush administration planned to take out seven countries in 5 years, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. And if there's protests in Iran and the government crushes them, or if there's military attacks by U.S.-backed or globalist-backed rebels in Iran, will we then be forced to invade Iran? That's the precedent being set right now, and it's now become a big debate. We started covering this last Friday. Now it's finally in mainstream news that the Congress had nothing to say about this. Congress didn't even have a resolution, much less a declaration of war, and that Obama has taken direct orders from the UN, which sets an incredible precedent. So we're going to be going over all the facets of that today. Tarpley called us this morning and with bated breath saying, it's the proof. And here it is out of the Asian Tribune. It's also in the London Guardian. Libyan rebellion has radical Islamist fervor. Benghazi linked to Islamic militancy. U.S. military document reveals that they're funding al-Qaeda. Well, that was in the London Telegraph Sunday. We wrote about it on Sunday before that article even came out. In fact, I know it was in yesterday's stack, but will you just re-pull me the London Telegraph article dealing with it being al-Qaeda? You see, you can't get around the fact it was al-Qaeda attacked Russia under U.S. orders. You can't get around the fact that it was al-Qaeda attacked the Serbs, and then, oh, we had to bomb them through the UN and NATO because how dare the Serbs fight back. You can't get around the fact, but it's so crazy, and I admit it sounds crazy. Truth is stranger than fiction. Who do you think al-Qaeda is? It's a Saudi Arabian terror group created by the CIA and the Saudis that they use to attack the U.S., and then they invade al-Qaeda's ancient enemy, Iraq. Saudi Arabia's big enemy. I mean, have you figured this out yet? I mean, look at the facts, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, we'll pull up Fox News and show you. Our AP, Amir al-Awlaki, number one in al-Qaeda now, at the time number three, meeting secretly at the Pentagon. I mean, this is the incredible reality that we're dealing with here. Now, I also want to open the phones up throughout the broadcast today. But I want to just hear your comment, your question. I got to move to the next person because if it's long-winded, and I'm long-winded, we won't get to anybody. 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Webster Tarpley coming up in about 25 minutes from now. Then we've got Ray McGovern and a lot more. And the latest on the reactors, it ain't looking good, and radiation maps, what's hitting the United States. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Tuesday, the 22nd day of March, 2011. Webster Griffin Tarpley, with huge new developments, is joining us at the bottom of the hour. Then Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst, Ronald Reagan, and George Herbert Walker Bush will be joining us in the third hour today. There's been huge new developments in Japan. They are obviously now, and even mainstream media is having to admit this, covering up the full magnitude. The Pentagon is considering forced evacuations of U.S. personnel in Japan. We also have a special guest of the Corbett Report. He's been out of Japan during the disaster, but he's going to be back in Japan. He's actually back there now. We'll be interviewing him tomorrow. But here's some of the news. Xenon 133 animation is up on Infowars.com showing the dispersion of the radioactive isotope. Radiation has blanketed the entire United States, Xenon 133, and it has a 5,243-day half-life, has now reached the entire eastern seaboard, and will soon likely cover the entire world. Zero Hedge has that breakdown of the maps, and when I get into this, we'll put it up on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Also, nuclear plant contaminates sea after damage to fuel rods, not just the spent fuel rods, the hundreds of thousands of them blown in all directions and thousands of feet in the air, but the live uranium and plutonium fuel rods inside the reactors. That's Bloomberg. Also, a key report at PrisonPlanet.com by Steve Watson. Fukushima radiation level cover-up. Readings around plant do not correlate with those observed 100 kilometers away. They're finally giving us readings from in and around the plant over a week later. CNN report, U.S. military considers mandatory evacuations in Japan. The U.S. military is considering the mandatory evacuation of thousands of American troops and their families in Japan out of concern over rising radiation levels, a senior defense official tells CNN. But you notice this is basically out of the news. It's still there, but not on the front burner now. And we got reports last Friday that the first radiation from the Friday before it reached. And since then, there's all these different private radiation monitoring maps online. And you'll see increased levels, and then hours later, it gets taken down, and they say, oh, it was a mistake. And with the past history of the federal government going into universities and other facilities and telling them to basically whitewash things at Three Mile Island, what the Russians did in Ukraine, outside Kiev with Chernobyl, what the Japanese have been caught doing, you really can't believe a word you're being told. And remember, as the nuclear physicists have explained, when you sit there with a Geiger counter and it only shows slight increases, that's because you're measuring the general background increase. But in fallout, it's only that little piece that's actually highly radioactive with uranium or plutonium or some of the other deadly isotopes that if you breathe it or that if it touches the end of the Geiger counter, then you get a spike, then the dust falls off the front, and you go, well, why did that just jump? And now it jumped for 10 minutes, and now it has, you know, it was 20-something times, 30-something times. Now the Geiger counter stopped because it's that invisible little pieces of dust floating around. I mean, they say the background radiation in a radiation in a uranium mine isn't even readable as an increase on a Geiger counter. They have to have special devices to even pick up where it's at. But you breathe that stuff, mining in there for a decade, you get lung cancer. And it's the same situation, that this is not good for us, but the nuclear industry, tied in with the government, joined at the hip, is very powerful. And they've got a long history, not just here, but in every other nuclear power, of covering this situation up. So continuing, it's not a good sign that the military is considering a mandatory evacuation after 5 days ago having a voluntary evacuation. And they found upwards of 26 times safe levels of radiation in the Japanese water and the Japanese food as far away as 100-plus miles from Fukushima. And remember, we have up in Canada a reactor last week that released a bunch of radioactive isotopes into the lake. And then it was just a minor footnote. They said, oh, it's safe levels. So it's standard operating procedure. Reuters reports steam rises from stricken Japan plant. They're just continuing to melt, continuing to have fires. Steve Watson's article has aircraft photos, heat photos taken and released by the U.S. government showing just incredible heat signatures inside of those plants. They're in some stage of meltdown. That's been admitted going back 7 days ago. They were admitting, actually 8 days ago, they were admitting last Monday partial meltdowns and those explosions and partial breaches of the containment facilities. So the truth is government is covering this up. That's 100%. We just don't know the severity of the cover-up that's going on right now. But smoke and steam rose from two of the most threatened reactors at Japan's quake-crippled nuke plant on Tuesday, suggesting the battle to avert a disastrous meltdown and stop the spread of radiation was far from won. There's already been partial meltdowns confirmed. They admit that. There's already been 600,000-plus fuel rods catching on fire, exploding, stored on top of four reactors that have blown sky high. They claim that there's only partial breaches on two of the internal containment facilities. But outside of it was stored, and on the roof was stored, the hundreds of thousands of rods. So amazing information on that front. Continuing with this information, if they have complete meltdowns, and it may have already happened because the winds are going straight out to sea, it's easy for them to try to cover it up with the increased radiation levels in and around Japan and just whitewash that. If they have complete Chernobyl-type meltdowns, or if that's happened and we haven't been told. Remember, last Friday, the head of the plant breaks down and cries and says, I can't cover up. This is enough radiation to kill people. I can't lie to you. The Fukushima 50, the people that are working in there valiantly, are probably going to die. What does that tell you about what's being blown out to sea? But the globalist, with DU, they tell the troops to use. They know it's a death sentence and their own army manuals on it. That was army regulations to issue those to all the troops up until 1991. They just stopped issuing them. We've had Dr. Doug Rocky who wrote the manuals on. Physicist. The leading NBC trainer. Most of the police out there today were trained by people trained by Rocky. And they lie to you and say it's no problem. Until 91, it was deadly, poisonous, highly radioactive. Couldn't use it unless it was a World War III scenario with giant divisions of Russian tanks pouring across, outnumbering NATO forces 10 to 1. It was a last-ditch weapon, just like Davy Crockett tactical nukes were. But the globalists said, you know what, let them go ahead and use it. Serve it out to M-16s. Serve it out to NATO 308. Serve it out to all the major fighting vehicles calibers. The guns and the Bradleys, the guns and the Warrior vehicles, the big Sabo DU rounds in the Abrams M1, what is it, M1A1? No, that's a rifle. I forget the newest type of Abrams. The point is they serve these systems out, and then they use it all over the place, and they know exactly what they're doing. So if they'll tell the troops use something that they know is going to soft kill them, what will they do to us? And that's the issue as these different types of radioactive fallout begin to hit the U.S. We'll put the Zero Hedge, who I found to be a very good source of information. We also have Watson writing another article on this right now. We'll put this up on screen. Xenon 133 dispersion radionuclei has blanketed entire United States. Radioactive Xenon 133 has a 5,243-day half-life, or is that a 5.243-day half-life? I've got to research this more. Has now reached the guys, look up what Xenon 133's half-life is. Has now reached the entire eastern seaboard, and soon will likely cover the entire world. We know Chernobyl did, and we'll continue with that report. Let's show them the animation. Let's scroll down and roll that animation for Prison Planet TV viewers. There it is. There's the animation up above it. And it's showing it being dispersed from Japan and then coming in as a cloud and drifting across into the United States. And that's the Central Institute for Meteorology and Geodynamics. We should probably just go to their site, link there below it. And they are measuring the plume and the radioactive units. And by the way, Dr. Bob Bowman reportedly sent us an email breaking down those calculations a few days ago. And I may have been in my stack, but I didn't see it. Can we do a search on Bowman's email? Or if we don't have it, call him again and ask about that report he sent us. I talked to him after you guys had left one night, and I think I forgot to tell you to even check for it. So many irons in the fire here. But we'll continue to break all of that down coming up in the second hour, and we're going to be taking your phone calls. Tarpley's just with us for one segment coming up with some powerful breaking news. Do you remember this Fox News headline? Exclusive, Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. Remember this article from October of last year, 7-8 months ago? Remember that? October, November, December, January, February, March, I guess 6 months ago. Anwar al-Awlaki may be the first American on the CIA's killer capture list, but he was also a lunch guest of the military brass at the Pentagon within months of September 11, 2001 terror attacks, when he was listed as one of the top terrorists who was wanted. Documents exclusively obtained by Fox News, including FBI interview conducted after the Fort Hood shooting in November of 2009. The Anwar al-Awlaki was hanging out with the top brass and the Secretary of the Army. Now, they now say he's the number one guy. He runs every patsy.
We've got it.
The transmission is coming to you.
All right, you are a go. All right, you are a go.
Webster Tarpley coming up with powerful new information. Let me start segueing into this key info right now. I covered the Fox News article for those of you living out there in denial. Associated Press and others also reported on this last October and November. Anwar al-Awlaki, who they now have said is the number one in al-Qaeda, he has replaced Osama bin Laden as the boogeyman puppet, trained in the U.S., lived in the U.S., he's behind the underwear bomber. He's behind the Times Square bomber, the shoe bomber, the Fort Hood shooter. He's the name they use via email and phone calls when they contact useful idiot, mentally ill, real terrorist in the U.S. who they try to get to attack targets. And who did they use to attack the Serbs? Then NATO went in and blew the daylights out of them. Al-Qaeda out of Albania. On record, that's not debated. Who do they use to attack Iran? White House admitted 4 years ago. Al-Qaeda, number three in Al-Qaeda. Who do they use to go after Gaddafi? Al-Qaeda. That's headline here out of the London Telegraph. Now, that said, here is the London Telegraph. The West and Al-Qaeda are on the same side. Statements of support for Libya's revolution by Al-Qaeda and leading Islamists have led to fears that military action by the West might be playing into the hands of its ideological enemies. This is not the West ideological enemies. It's the banker's crew of terrorists who come and menace the West, so we'll be held ransom by the globalists that own the military-industrial complex to pay trillions a year into the black hole. And so they can use them to menace the West to give up our liberties and our freedoms, and so they can set up their police state control grid. And here, of course, is the latest report dealing with this out of the Asian Tribune. Libyan revolution has radical Islamist fervor. Benghazi linked to Islamic militancy, U.S. military document reveals. Well known to the United States policymakers, in Obama's White House and Clinton State Department, along with the National Security Council, but not widely known to the American mainstream media, the U.S. West Point Military Academy's Combating Terrorism Center document reveals that Libya sent more fighters to Iraq's Islamic militancy on a per capita basis than any other Muslim country, including Saudi Arabia. Perhaps more alarmingly for Western policymakers, most of the fighters came from eastern Libya, the center of the current uprising against Muammar Gaddafi. The analysis of the Combating Terrorism Center West Point was based on the records captured by coalition forces in October of 07 in a raid near Sinjar along Iraq's Syrian border. And it basically goes into the fact that Saudi Arabia is involved, the U.S. is involved. The point is, they hide this stuff in plain view. That's who the airstrikes are backing, is real Al-Qaeda. And it's on record that they're shipping arms in out of Saudi Arabia, fighters in out of Saudi Arabia, through Western Egypt into Eastern Libya. That's who's there. I mean, on every front, in Serbia, in Iran, in the United States, Anwar al-Awlaki, the 7-7 bombers, it turned out, was run by the admitted head of Al-Qaeda in England, who the British were supporting and protecting, and who's an MI6 asset. That's in my film Terror Storm, made 4.5 years ago, 2007. Released 2007. I mean, British SAS caught dressed up as Sunnis running around in Basra shooting Iraqi police. On record. To get the Sunnis and Shiites killing each other. This is the strategy. It's so simple. The globalists hate America. They're dismantling the republic. This isn't the U.S. government. Our flag, our country, our money has been captured by the offshore globalists, the same ones destroying our liberties and our freedoms, launching these wars, ordering torture, using Hollywood they control to tell us torture is good, to destroy our name worldwide, to set us up later. Now, all of that said, it's turned out U.S. and British special forces have been there since before the fall of many areas of Libya. It turns out El Baradei and the UN, globalist-backed, were in there bringing down Mubarak months ago. And now we learn it's not just U.S. and British special forces, Libya. U.S. fighter jet crash lands in field near Benghazi, an F-15E bomber, fighter bomber, in there dropping bombs. You weren't told that in the news. You were told it was only cruise missiles. Our intel was they were launching aircraft bombers off those ships, and they are attacking. AFRICOM now confirms that that's going on. It is confirmed. And we're going to come back and talk with Webster Tarpley about this. Think about it. Al-Qaeda works for the globalist against everybody.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Ray McGovern, former top CIA briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, will be joining us in the last hour to give us his breakdown on what's really happening in Libya. We'll also get his view on the ongoing cover-up at Fukushima. Bloomberg, the Associated Press, Reuters are reporting the radiation levels are increasing, getting into the ocean, getting into the air, reports of xenon 133. Being picked up as far away as the east coast of the U.S., so that's already blanketed the U.S. Now, this is clearly developing to be worse than Chernobyl. There's an ongoing cover-up there. Now, we know that Anwar al-Awlaki is a known CIA operative. He's now the number one in Al-Qaeda. Now, process that. The globalists know that's so bold, the average person won't get it. Fox News, AP, Anwar al-Awlaki secretly works for the Pentagon, secretly meets there with the head of the army, the secretary of the army, and others. While he's on the most wanted list, and he runs all the major patsy attacks, I want Tarpley to first explain that and the history of Al-Qaeda attacking the Serbs. Then they respond, oh, it's humanitarian, we've got to go in. Now with Gaddafi, he's been saying for 3 weeks, this is Al-Qaeda. Now London Telegraph, BBC, CNN admit, wow, it's strange, this is Al-Qaeda out of Saudi Arabia with U.S. and NATO money pouring through Egypt. So hidden in plain view, 100%. And even the Pentagon and even West Point's own researchers study this and go, wow, it's weird. Al-Qaeda is supplying fighters. Well, 4 years ago, Bush put out a press release saying they were using four groups to attack inside Iran. Turned out three of the four were Al-Qaeda, one of them run by the number three in Al-Qaeda. That was mainstream news. Al-Qaeda is a Western creation. So, Webster, before you get to the newest bombshell info, give them a brief history, because I'm showing folks Al-Qaeda's foreign fighters in Iraq, a first look at the Sinjar records. This is put out by West Point,
right?
By the top war strategist there. That dovetails with the Asia Times. Libyan rebellion has radical Islamist fervor. Benghazi linked to Islamic militancy, U.S. military documents reveal. But let's continue. Here's the London Telegraph. The West and Al-Qaeda are on the same side. Al-Qaeda being funded by the West. Wesley Clark, we have this clip later, saying, which you said yesterday, we now have the video clip, saying that this is a 10-year-old plan to invade all these countries and to use Al-Qaeda to basically destabilize it. Explain to people how Brzezinski created it, what it is, how these rogue networks operate, and how big this is, that here we're being told that there are these heroes, Al-Qaeda, that we've got to protect from Gaddafi. They call them protesters. When they're not protesters, they have their own fighter jets that have crashed. They have their own tanks, their own missile launchers. And Gaddafi has said, I'm not saying he's an angel, folks. The point is, he's a lesser of two evils. He said to Obama yesterday, what would you do if rebels were launching missile attacks on cities? But our media calls them democratic protesters. Now Al-Qaeda is the good guys.
Well, the history of it, of course, is that the Al-Qaeda was created by the United States, by the CIA, by Robert Gates, actually, who was working for Brzezinski in the Carter administration and then under Reagan, as a secret army. Al-Qaeda is a CIA secret army to be used against the Soviets in Afghanistan, and among the personnel that we've got added on later on, a younger and more energetic guy would be this double agent, Al-Laki, the CIA lackey, who's been used to sheep-dip all kinds of people from Major Hassan to the guy with the Times Square bomb and so forth. However, the headline right now is the United Nations resolution and the entire NATO coalition and other countries too are now bombing Libya in defense of civilians, a humanitarian intervention in defense of civilians. Who are these civilians? Of course, they're armed gangs. They're a group of irregular military forces.
But who, by the way, are rounding up random people, robbing people. Mainstream news confirms that.
Lining them up
and shooting them.
They're lynching black Africans. They're highly racist. They think any black person is a mercenary for Gaddafi. But the big headline is this. Northeast Libya, the hotbed of the rebellion, Benghazi, Tobruk, and Darna, is terrorist heaven. It's Al-Qaeda's number one world recruiting ground. So the people that you're defending, U.S. Troops are being risked today to defend the existence of the younger brothers of the suicide bombers who blew up American soldiers and others in Iraq. Let's just look at this study. I would recommend people take a look at it. It comes from the Combating Terrorist Center of the Department of Political Sciences, United States Military Academy, West Point, December 2007. And what we find in here is that the number one country for recruiting suicide bombers and other terrorist fighters to go into Iraq and kill GIs is Libya. And the statistics are the following. Libya is a country with 6 million people. It nevertheless supplied 20% of the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Iraq. And this comes from the U.S. captured the Al-Qaeda personnel file in a city called Sinjar near the Syrian border in October of 2007.
So one arm of the military captured the CIA's dossier of the Eastern recruiting ground that wasn't even really under the control of Gaddafi.
6 million people, 6.5 now, produced 20% of the terrorists in Iraq. Now, Saudi Arabia, with 25 million people, produced about 40%. So you get an idea that the Libyan contribution to the al-Qaeda terrorist patsy fanatic psychotic presence in Iraq is much greater than the population. And now they even break it down according to cities. The number one source of terrorist fighters going into Iraq, according to these al-Qaeda personnel files, was Saudi Arabia, was Riyadh. So the city of Riyadh, with 4.3 million people, contributed 52 terrorists. Second place goes to the city of Darna in Libya, with 51 terrorists, but Darna only has 80,000 people. So Riyadh, 52 terrorists, 4.3 million people. Darna, 51 terrorists, 80,000. It means that Darna, which is right there by the Egyptian border, it's part of the area being defended by the no-fly zone. This is terrorist heaven. This is the number one terrorist recruiting center in the world in proportion to population. You go down the list, Mecca comes in third in Saudi Arabia with 43. That's a much larger city. The number four is Benghazi. Benghazi with 21 terrorists. Benghazi is the capital of this rebel confederacy or coalition that the CIA has put together. So we now have this unbelievable situation where the United Nations and NATO and the United States are all saying a humanitarian emergency. We must intervene to protect the heroes of democracy from the evil dictator Gaddafi. And it turns out that the heroes of democracy are the younger brothers of the suicide bombers who went into Iraq and killed American soldiers and other members of the international coalition, as well as Iraqis. And at the same time this is going on, the U.S. is bombing Pakistan. Predator drones are over Pakistan right now, killing people in the name of fighting al-Qaeda, even as the United States is joining hands with al-Qaeda and defending them against Gaddafi.
All right, let me stop you, and then I want you to continue, Dr. Tarpley, with your breakdown. But for people that don't understand full spectrum dominance, for people that don't understand the true strategy here or the stratagem, correct me, or I know I'm not wrong, but elaborate on what I'm about to say. You have a giant global corporate globalist combine that's basically a mafia that's waging war against the nation state, whether it's America, Libya, it doesn't matter, that uses slick propaganda and packaging. They need the multi-trillion dollar a year wars, the multi-trillion dollar a year U.S. defense budget alone. They've got to manufacture threats. And so the average American sees it like, oh, America wants to go beat al-Qaeda. And then they don't understand, well, then why is al-Qaeda always funded and working for the globalists? Because that's how they start the wars. That's how they create the pretext. They use this secret army to destabilize any area they want as the pretext to then invade. Look at a chessboard. If they want to invade a certain country on the map, they put the al-Qaeda piece into that map, and then they can stage it themselves, or their patsies can stage it as a pretext to put in sanctions, no-fly zones, invasions, whatever they want. That's what al-Qaeda is. So people who look at this like, well, al-Qaeda doesn't work for us. Well, there is no us. We don't run this country anymore. We're run by the globalists who use us as their overall global engine of modern neocolonialism. And al-Qaeda is this convenient boogeyman or a pretext to invade or attack or destabilize any country they want to go into. And you can't get around that historical fact that they do work for the New World Order.
Al-Qaeda is essentially a pool of patsies, of fanatics, of fighters, of psychotics, of militants who can be used. The ideology of al-Qaeda is that all existing Arab and Islamic Muslim governments are illegitimate. None of them represents the caliphate. They say that the caliphate is the form of government that is prescribed by the holy books, and therefore none of them are any good. So with al-Qaeda, you immediately have a way to attack any existing Arab government. Case in point, the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group. The Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, their line is, Gaddafi is an apostate. Gaddafi is somebody who might once have been a Muslim, but he's now an apostate. He's a heretic. He's gotten out of his religion. He's turned into a secularist. This Libyan Islamic Fighting Group has transmogrified. They changed themselves into Al-Qaeda of the Islamic Maghreb. And you can look at their website, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. Their website says, down with Gaddafi, down with the dictator, long live the wonderful fighters and heroes of Benghazi and Tobruk and Darna. And don't forget Darna, because Darna is the place. That's terrorist heaven, Al-Qaeda heaven. And this is what the U.S. has allied with now.
But Webster, isn't this this West Point report, the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing?
Well, you know, life is complicated, and it's impossible to control everything. And when you're improvising these crazy operations from one year to the next, the problem with any covert operation is it can't be kept secret over time because you've got to redeploy the assets. In other words, the West Point report says right now in Iraq, this is giving us a hard time, right? Because the Bush-Cheney line was the presence of Al-Qaeda is used to justify a U.S. military attack, right? That would be Zarqawi and the Al-Qaeda in Iraq. But now under Obama, you're not using Al-Qaeda as a way to attack it because it's there. You're saying Al-Qaeda are now redefined as the heroes of democracy, and we're going to bomb the country in order to protect them. So it's
because that's the globalist asset they've got in each country. Isn't this a replay of Kermit Roosevelt and the CIA and British MI6 in 1953 with Mossadegh, who was even pro-Western but wouldn't give everything over to BP, then Anglo-American Oil. And so they use the Muslim extremists to overthrow the government. Then they double-cross them and put the puppet Shah in.
Certainly, the Al-Qaeda is a force of obscurantism that opposes modernization, westernization, industrialization, and everything else. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is the mother of Al-Qaeda, was used by the CIA to oppose President Nasser in Egypt. But right now, I think the parallel we ought to think of is look at Gates, look at the people around Carter and Brzezinski and then Reagan, creating Al-Qaeda and giving them these Stinger missiles and other means. Imagine what happens if this group, this gaggle of terrorists in Benghazi, imagine if they take over the oil revenue of Libya. They're going to have billions and billions of dollars, and the CIA is now arming them. They're smuggling in or shipping in weapons from Egypt with the collusion of the Egyptian army.
By the way, that's in the Associated Press. They're not even denying that. And then A month, a year, 2 years later, everyone will forget that the West backed them. Then we'll have to invade again because Al-Qaeda has now taken control of Libya, and no one will even remember this.
Right, and Al-Qaeda can then install, you know, bigger and better surface-to-air missiles on the northern coast and interdict all the traffic in the Mediterranean. So goodbye, Mediterranean.
Well, it's simple. Al-Qaeda has always been the globalist weapon, and they're now using it again. I mean, how obvious does this have to get? Webster, what do you make of the U.S. F-15E fighter bomber having technical difficulties and crashing outside Benghazi? They were denying that U.S. aircraft were dropping bombs. They were only cruise missiling. Now Gates has announced they're going to pull back aircraft. Looks like Gaddafi may have some missiles that folks don't know about.
I think you're going to find out what he has. The further you delve into it, you're going to find some unpleasant surprises. I'm very skeptical about the fact that when the NATO supermen get shot down or brought down, it's never because of unfriendly action. But I think the main thing is the entire command structure is now in chaos because Obama, for his demagogic political reasons...
By the way, that's confirmed. The NATO alliance is completely breaking up.
Absolutely breaking up.
Oh, yeah. What do you make... Oh, so many questions. What do you make of Putin coming out and saying this is a new crusade, it's horrible, and Medvedev, for the first time ever, breaking and rebuking Putin?
Well, that's a clear choice for the voters in Russia. And given the fact that the average Russian voter deeply suspicious of the United States, I think that would have to be advantage Putin and indeed advantage for the world because it's important for somebody to say no to these things.
Well, they've always claimed that Medvedev was a puppet of Putin, but you've disagreed and said that it's two different groups. Well, then what is the real grouping in Russia?
And certainly the oligarchs, the people, the nouveau riche, the people who have gotten filthy rich privatizing the state property of the Soviet Union, have now gravitated to Medvedev. That would include Anatoly Chubais, who's the leader of that group. But look, the thing about the command structure is that the Italians say you can't use our seven bases unless it's under NATO command. The British say, no, we want British command. The French, Sarkozy, who is a little Napoleon, says, no, it has to be French command. The Arabs, they have one Arab so far, right? The Arab fig leaves have come down to Qatar. The only one is this, the little country where Al Jazeera comes from. Qatar and any other Arabs they might get say, we don't.
So they've only got the British
NATO
base.
Command.
They've only got the British base.
They've got, well, they so far they have had the Sigonella, Sicily, and the seven Italian bases, but the Italian.
No, by base, I meant Qatar and Al Jazeera is a known British front.
Right. It couldn't be clearer. Right. They're part of this enterprise of killing Arabs there in Libya. But the broader question is, because of Obama's cowardice, because of Obama's unwillingness to take responsibility for what he's actually doing, to give an Oval Office address, look you in the eye, and say I'm attacking. We've now got this chaos. One of the main principles of military operations is unity of command. And if you don't have unity of command, you have big trouble. Right now, NATO has really big trouble. Norway.
Yeah, they can't lead without the United States. Stay there, Webster. One more segment to see where you think all this is going. But everything Webster's talking about is all confirmed. Mainstream news, hidden in plain view. Al-Qaeda openly works for the banksters to stir up crises. Set the precedent to have the United Nations, for the first time in our history, issue a directive, a resolution, and within less than 48 hours, the United States starts attacking a country. You have this F-15 shot down right over Benghazi, where reportedly Gaddafi's rolled in. He's shelling the al-Qaeda people, the supposed heroes. I'm sorry, I don't like al-Qaeda, folks. I apologize. I'll be seen as unpatriotic. And Webster Griffin Tarpley is our guest. Webster, this is really unraveling quickly. What do you make of Gates announcing that Allied airstrikes are now to slow? The Wall Street Journal reports, in lieu of this F-15 going down, that reveals it's not just cruise missiles.
It shows what happens when stupid, imbecilic politicians like Obama and Sarkozy meddle in military decisions, among other things. This is also calibrated to suit the image of Obama and Sarkozy. It's a recipe for disaster. Norway has dropped out because of the unclarity of the command. Turkey had been a candidate to join. Turkey now says they will not join.
Germany.
And they're not happy with Sarkozy. Germany never came in. That's a really important one. The United Arab Emirates was supposed to send some military forces. They have bugged out because of the backlash in the Arab streets. So I think it's clear there's going to be a stalemate at best, and at worst, Obama will essentially, Gaddafi will do what Saddam Hussein did at the end of the first Gulf War and proceed, despite the presence of a no-fly zone and bombing, to reassert the territorial integrity of the country against these armed gangs.
And the Financial Times reports he's got giant hoards of gold, the true international currency, that he's paying mercenaries with.
Well, he's fighting this group, and he has said that they are terrorists. And now I was a little bit skeptical of that at the beginning, but now I find, indeed, these are indeed terrorists. If you look at that city of Darna, if they have 80,000 people and they sent 51 suicide bombers to Iraq, that means you get one terrorist for every 1,500 or 1,600 people. That's a pretty heavy concentration.
And by the way, there's an Arab supremacist vein here that you alluded to, but doing some studying on Libya. Gaddafi's been about unifying Africa and not persecuting black Africans that live in Libya. This eastern area has been a Libya, North Africa for Arabs only group, and that seems to be the core of a lot of their vitriol as they hunt black Libyans down and kill them. You notice the liberal media isn't picking up on that ethnic cleansing.
They don't care. It's very interesting. They focus on the fact that the Arab League, in a moment of total bribery, approved this operation. The African Union said no before it, and the African Union continues to say no and demand a ceasefire. But the African Union is mainly black African states, so they don't count. The whole thing has a tremendous anti-black racist overtone against black Africans, partly also because of the reasons you said. I'm wondering, you look at these people who are now leading that rebel council in Benghazi. There's Yunus and Jalil, and Yunus and Jalil are the defense minister and the interior minister of previous governments, and these guys have now been rebaptized heroes of democracy. Hillary Clinton, when she had her mixer with the terrorist leadership there in Paris, she met another one of these characters, and well, at that point, she met Mahmoud Jibril, who represents this leadership council. I'm wondering whether he was actually from Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. So she would have been cavorting with terrorists on that occasion. So, again, if you think that the big operation of the U.S. right now also involves Pakistan, that's the third.
Tell you what, do five more minutes, and I promise callers a full hour of calls. We're going to shift gears into the Fukushima cover-up that's intensifying, and then we'll get back into Libya.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. It is the 22nd day of March 2011. Your calls coming up in the next segments. We'll also get into the latest developments in Fukushima, the ongoing cover-up and intensifying radiation levels. Nuclear plant contaminates sea after damage to fuel rods. Tiny amount of radioactive particles reach Iceland. So it's now gone all the way over North America. And Reuters is reporting it's reached Iceland. Fukushima radiation levels cover up. We have a report on that. U.S. military considers mandatory evacuations in Japan. That is all coming up. CNN reporting. So if they're evacuating even further and talking about forced evacuations, you better believe that we've got some serious meltdowns here. They admit partial meltdowns, but we pray not full Chernobyl situation. Webster, we got about 3.5 minutes left. Webster Tarpley finishing up. I guess we need to get the word out that Al-Qaeda is publicly working with the Western powers to overthrow Gaddafi. That's very bold of them, but from what you're saying and what the media is reporting, this coalition's falling apart. Things aren't starting to go too well.
It's a very, very cynical policy of power politics. It has nothing to do with democracy or human rights or anything of this sort. But what the finding is, again, from West Point, the document is called Al-Qaeda's Foreign Fighters, published at the Combating Terrorism Center of the Department of Social Sciences, U.S. Military Academy, West Point, New York, December 2007. It's all in there. There's also an article in the Asia Tribune. It's not another publication with a similar name. The Asia Tribune by Daya Gamage that gives a very useful summary. And again, the finding is that Libya gave more terrorists and suicide bombers to Al-Qaeda for Iraq attacks than any other country in proportion to population, 20 per million. That's more than twice as much as the Saudi Arabian contribution. And this contribution was not spread equally over Libya, but it was overwhelmingly concentrated in northeast Libya, the area of Benghazi, Tobruk, and Darna. And that's exactly the area which is the hotbed of the rebellion. This group that had already rebelled in 1995. You remember the David Shaler affair, when Shaler said he was sitting at MI5, he noticed that MI6, the British equivalent of the CIA, had hired Al-Qaeda to try to kill Gaddafi. Well, that failed, although it did kill some people. But in coordination with that, there was an insurrection in about 1995-96 of these same terrorist characters in northeast Libya, which was then crushed by Gaddafi. So that's the origin of the bad blood.
So we've already had the Al-Qaeda boys trying to overthrow Gaddafi before. But how dare you talk about Al-Qaeda, Webster? These are loving, good people.
I'm afraid that that mythology now falls to the ground, and we see that this is simply a group of armed thugs, if I dare say it.
They're really mercenaries.
They're mercenaries, but some of them, of course, are fanatics or psychotics. They generally fit the profile of armed patsies. They think they're doing one thing, they're actually doing something else. Although, the problem with this is you get into this Frankenstein effect. If you create this, suppose they do seize control of Cyrenaica, northeast Libya. Suppose they seize control of the oil revenues, and they are armed by the CIA through
Egypt. Now they can destabilize Tunisia to the west, Egypt to the east. They can project power into the Med.
Into the Mediterranean, and the Italian island of Lampedusa. Sicily is not far away. Italy is not far away. Neither is Spain, France, Greece, Cyprus, all sorts of European coasts. So this is a piece of insanity. And it's time.
But it's not. The globalists want destabilization, kamikaze states,
right,
as you warned during the election three years ago.
But those of us who want to defend civilization have to condemn this as a piece of strategic lunacy, because it sets you up for a new round of mayhem if these characters succeed. And I think it portrays the role of Gaddafi, I think, in a much different light when you see that he's...
And that's why the globalists... That's why the globalists are so desperate to make sure they defeat Gaddafi to keep the dominoes falling. Webster, Tarpley.net, our sites, Infowars.com. Thank you, Doctor.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I got a big news blitz coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be looking in-depth at the ongoing and intensified cover-up in Fukushima. Radiation now being picked up that's gone over the entire United States to governments that are not covering it up. Reuters reporting tiny amounts of radioactive particles reach Iceland. It's tiny, just like DU's not bad for the troops. And TSA scanners aren't bad for you, though now they admit they are. Syrian protests spread. Authorities pull back. Same al-Qaeda groups they're using to overthrow Gaddafi are attempting to. Inaction there. CNBC. Libyan attacks spark oil price surge. Financial Times of London. UN condemns deadly shelling of civilians by Gaddafi, but always praises Western bombing of civilians. Russia urges immediate Libyan ceasefire by both sides. That is just some of what is coming up on that front today. And if you're a new listener and didn't know that al-Qaeda was Western created and run, we just went through a whole bunch of mainstream news articles and West Point basically reporting on that for you. If you're not aware of history, I suggest you do a crash course in it immediately. I would start with Fox News exclusive. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11 from October of last year. And I'd also take it to the Times of London and Newsweek. Let's put it on screen for folks. Airlift of Evil, 8,000 Taliban al-Qaeda cream captured by U.S. ground forces, handed over to the CIA, paid in gold, and flown out to safety in Pakistan to start the destabilization there. It's very simple. They use them to go stir things up so the West then has an excuse to invade. We're going to take your phone calls right now on any issue you wish to discuss. Big Daddy in Japan, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, where do you join us from in Japan?
Okay, I'm in the suburbs of Tokyo. I survived the quakes, and I'm physically fine. My mental state is another story. Now, I forgot to mention, I'm a Prison Planet member, Info Warrior, and a Money Bomb contributor, and a little nervous, obviously.
Thank you. We couldn't do it without
anyway,
you. What's on your mind?
That's right, brother. Okay, now, I need a few minutes to speak and possibly change some lives. That's all I ask of you. Can you give me that, brother?
If you get started, please.
Okay, here we go, sir. When I woke up and saw that they launched a new war in Libya a few days ago, my mind exploded with the power of 1,000 suns, and I said, they did this now? Now, when we're in the middle of the biggest, most threatening disaster to mankind in history? And I realized the globalists had shown their face. In the game of poker, it's called a tell. Everyone I know here said the same thing verbatim. What? They started a new war now? Alex, we in Japan are the canaries in the mineshaft. We know we're not being told the whole truth about radiation exposure. The face of death has smiled at me. And the only thing I can do is smile back. I'm not afraid of dying. I've had a good life, but it makes me very sad to see the children who will be robbed of a full life. Remember, people, what we've got here is coming to a town or city near you. Get acquainted with the term microsieverts. It could be your best friend. The situation in Japan is extremely precarious. We're praying for a resolution to the nuclear crisis, but the bottom line is we don't know what the truth is. Now, the world is on the edge of a dark abyss. Here is the solution. The time is now. The time is now for people around the world, starting in the U.S., to put down their remote controls, unplug their TVs, and put their mind control devices in storage. Now is the time to take to the streets and millions, in the millions, in peaceful, Gandhi-esque, nonviolent mass protests against the wars. Now is the time for everybody to shout, no, no more wars. It has to stop now. The elites have the technology, but we've got the numbers.
Absolutely. Big Daddy, I appreciate your call. Thank you. And if you're irritated by being cut off, no other talk radio show that's big would have somebody talk for 2 minutes. You watch Fox News, CNN, there's constant banter back and forth. The callers on regular shows get about 45 seconds. If I don't give callers 20 minutes, they get mad. But, yes, very good points. They are having the children in and around Fukushima still in school. Though there's 26 times the radiation in the food and water, that's been reported as of 2 days ago. Obama also announced new gun control, draconian legislation during the Japan crisis just 3 days into it, while diverting us with NCAA March Madness distractions and talking about the American people being in a trance and giggling. They think it's very funny. This war is a brazen criminal operation. There's no doubt about it. Will in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I think you should give that Big Daddy guy a job. You know, he sounded pretty good to me. Let me say, Building 7, if anyone listening, just if you haven't done it, get the video, Building 7, and just show it to people. Show it to anyone you can do, because that's like the smoking gun, obviously.
Yeah, we have the video of the police saying, get back, they're going to blow up Building 7, and they blew it up on 9/11.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to remind everybody out there, if they haven't done it, to go do that. And I think you want to say that you handled the whole Jupiter-Saturn controversy with grace and dignity the other day, and I appreciate that.
Well, I don't think it was a controversy that I was talking about. Studies in the solar system now show that large meteors and comets hit planets more often than people had thought. And I said Saturn was hit by Shoemaker-Levy comet instead of Jupiter. That's what happens when you talk 3 hours a day. But, sir, do you, Will, have any comments about the Libya situation? Any comments about the ongoing cover-up of the ongoing meltdowns at Fukushima?
Well, I think you're saying it pretty well, man, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and there's a lot of BS going on.
Well, thank you, Will. I appreciate that. I'm going to move quickly now through the calls. Tim in Washington, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Alex. I just had a question. When I reduce all the news, it kind of seems like Obama's disbanded government. He's not going to Congress to enact wars, and it seems like the United States is gone, and we're now just a part of the United Nations.
Well, this is the first time that a United Nations resolution's come out and Congress had nothing to say. There wasn't even a petty resolution, much less a declaration. And now we take orders directly from the UN. And we have the quotes. It's in one of the news articles I have today, where Obama during the campaign said the president doesn't have the power to unilaterally launch wars unless we're already under attack, and then the executive has that power. And clearly, this is the country, another step for globalism, just like when Obama became the head of the UN Security Council for a term. That's in our film, Fall of the Republic. That's why Kissinger and all other globalists were there just smiling when he became president and the head of the UN Security Council, which is totally unconstitutional. It violates Article 1, Section 9. Just absolutely incredible.
So is he a dictator now?
Well, here's the deal. Everybody over the years sends me emails. I see comments saying, Alex, where's the martial law? Well, when the Pentagon makes a deal to steal all the veterans' death benefits outside of law, that's martial law. When Michigan announces, let's put it on the screen, a Detroit Free Press, The headline, Michigan declares financial martial law. That means the regular law, the regular checks and balances, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution don't apply. When Obama has the EPA implement carbon taxes and restrictions on new power plants outside of law, that's a dictatorship of the bureaucracy. There's the Atlantic magazine, Michigan declares financial martial law. When they set up federally funded checkpoints with police taking blood without warrants, that's martial law. When they have TSA now at highway checkpoints, making you drive under high-powered radiation scanners that shoot through your car and you, that's martial law. When the TSA demands to stick their hands down your pants, that's hardcore martial law. When they have free speech zones and you've got to have a permit that they can deny to have a demonstration on a street corner, that's martial law. But they don't call it martial law in the executive orders and the John Warner Defense Authorization Act and PDD 51. They say the president for any reason or the bureaucracy for any reason can suspend any law in Congress for 6 months. All of that continuing and expanding. When Obama says he's above the law and can order torture, as Bush did, that's tyranny. That's martial law. But they don't call it that. They call it security. They call it civil emergency. They call it protecting America. And so all these bozos are looking for martial law now with the internet kill switch going in, now with the announcements that they're going to have government take over and break-ins over radio and TV with announcements. 9,000 telescreens going in malls and shopping centers saying, watch your neighbors with Big Brother announcements. That's martial law. That's right out of 1984. It's here. We're going into it. And now they're announcing mergers of the big telecoms, that they're going to restrict what websites you can visit, and that they're going to de-rank content farms like DrudgeReport.com and InfoWars.com. It's all slow heating up the water, boiling us to death, with yuppies running around saying, I don't see tyranny, as the bankers devalue their currency with a dollar devaluation tax. So, is that answering your question?
Well, in a sense it does, but I just think the American public are just like completely hooked on semantics. And so, as you just explained it, they just don't realize that they're under this type of tyranny because it's not portrayed.
The government, since 96, listens to your cell phones without warrants and can dial in even when they're turned off. They admit public schools issue laptops and watch the kids at home and announce it themselves. I mean, are laptops watching you at home without warrants? That's beyond martial law.
Yeah, I put my phone in a box as soon as I get home. I don't trust it.
Well, that's a good move, my friend. I mean, they admit that they're just surveilling everything. Anything else, sir?
Yeah, I had one quick question for you. Do you know what the saturation level is for populations greater than 500,000 due to Fukushima reactor admissions? And where could I get that information?
You don't. Ask that question again.
Do you know what the saturation level for populations over 500,000 due to the projected emissions of the Fukushima reactors?
Do I know what the saturation is?
Yeah, before we get sick and before we start showing signs of radiation sickness.
Dr. Bob Bowman actually sent me an email with all those numbers. It varies and it's debated. I'll try to answer that when we come back. Look, here's the deal, Tim. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a physicist. But I've had them on to break down the different ranges that are seen as dangerous. It's too hard to break down. You've got scores of different radioactive isotopes. Tritium, xenon, radioactive iodine. I mean, the list goes on and on. Uranium, plutonium. But generally, uranium and plutonium are pretty heavy. So they tend to fall out of the atmosphere. But if a little bit of it gets on, say, a feather or some grass or a cobweb, something that can get airborne, then it can get picked up and brought across. But most of it's going in the ocean. And they are reporting in the news today that, and Bloomberg, that the ocean off of that sucker is what's really radioactive. It's built right on the ocean, and the winds are blowing out there. So you got to watch Pacific seafood now. Those currents go right up to Alaska and all of those big fisheries where we get the bottom-feeding crabs, the mollusk that we eat, you know, at restaurants, we buy at the supermarket. I mean, it's a butterfly effect. There's just no way to even calculate it. We just know overall it's not good. And Ann Coulter runs around saying it's nutritious for you. Even low levels of radiation, according to the government, that you eat the food year after year that's had it fall on the soil, you get the recurring low-level radioactivity. It bioaccumulates up to a higher level of radioactivity. But many doctors we've had on say, you know, you don't take potassium, iodine, until the radiation is 100 times what they say is safe levels. But then, again, I'm not going to give medical advice. It's a very, very, very complex issue, okay? But it's good, obviously, to have potassium iodide in your medicine cabinet. It's good to have gas masks. It's good to have storable food. It's good to have a bug-out pack. It's good to have an evacuation plan for nuclear fallout disasters, plants blowing up, forest fires, earthquakes, riots. That's the big one with the economy imploding. Mike in Louisiana, you're on the air.
I just want to tell you thank you for all the information. I'm trying to wake up everybody I can. I guess I was more appalled at Mr. Obama's speech, Barry Santero, of his speech that he had did, and he just mentioned so casually about the UN doing this, and I'm going, what the hell is going on with our country? When the hell did we give authority to the UN about controlling anything America does? America better... I'm sorry, Alex, I get to...
Well, let me just add something here, Mike. George W. Bush, I called for his impeachment. Jerome Corsi did. He's a mainline conservative. Ron Paul talked about it. When Bush signed secretly the North American Union SPP agreement at Baylor in 2005, no one even hardly talked about it. We've been going under this system. In 2007, he gave a press conference, it's in my film Endgame, with Merkel and Barroso of the EU, saying they were merging the North American Union with the EU with the North Atlantic Agreement. I mean, it was right there. So, yes, but this is the first time a president has become the sitting member of the Security Council for that round a year and a half ago. That was treason. And now, well, the UN says so. We got to attack the UN now becoming our boss. Other countries who voted in that now trumping our Congress who didn't even have time to respond. And then the servile Congress, only a few Democrats are complaining. The servile Congress, the Republicans and Democrats, went along with it. Regardless of what you think of this new war, the UN's now our boss.
Crazy. That's ludicrous to think that the UN is our boss. I refuse to let the UN be in our boss. We are still Americans.
Well, this is the true birth. We are seeing the birth of true world government right now. Foreign IMF set our dollar value. G20 sets it. The wars are launched by the UN. Unelected bureaucrats in the North American SPP agreement, they set the agenda. I mean, he follows UN rules on carbon emissions. I mean, we're under world government right now.
It's here whether you want it or not. I cannot believe it's here, but you woke me up to it about a year ago, and just over the last couple of months, especially with, you can't tell me that the light radiation just from the leakage hit our coast and we have documented it. And then
that's right. The stuff from 8-9 days ago hits Friday. They say it increased. Then all the really bad stuff from the explosions, we now hear nothing. But the Icelanders are saying we're getting radiation. Iceland. I mean, what is Iceland? 12,000 miles away from Japan? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tomato. Who the hell put this individual in charge? It sure wasn't America.
Mike, I kind of missed it. Quite understand the last part, but thank you so much. I understand you're angry. Charles, Steve, Denise, Alex, and Japan will go to you. I was a highwayman.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
Sword and pistol.
With sword and pistol by my side.
Many a young maid.
Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade.
Many a soldier.
Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade.
Crank up this next one.
The bastards hung me in the spring of 25.
A little bit of this roll.
But I am still alive.
I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed.
But I'm living still.
But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide.
A place called Boulder.
A place called Boulder on the wild Colorado.
Think about what those Japanese are doing, those brave men in there. Now, 9-10 days into fighting.
They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound.
Intensely against that situation that's unfolding. We're going to go back to Alex in Japan, Charles, Trey, Mike, James, and others. By the way, Alex Twittered us this morning at twitter.com/realalexjones, and we hit him back and said, try to get in, Alex, with another report from you from Japan. So we'll be talking to Alex here in a moment. Before I go any further, I want to remind listeners we have the online video bookstore. We also have the Patriot T-shirts. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that wear the InfoWars shirts, the wide variety we have, and how many people they meet on the street, some that become very good friends or girlfriends or boyfriends. Some folks wearing the shirts have met their future spouse. Great way to realize how many people are really awake out there is to wear a Ron Paul 2012 shirt or a You Are the Resistance V for Victory campaign, all available at InfoWars.com. By the way, I know I'm like 2 weeks late announcing the winner of the V for Victory, answer to 1984 or 1776. We will announce the winners tomorrow. I have chosen the winners. We probably had, I don't want to exaggerate, 8-9 times the response we've ever had to another one. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. In fact, Phil's estimating it's close to 1,000 videos sent in. Can you imagine? So, victims of our own success. Everybody that entered the contest is a winner, but we'll announce the $7,000 first place, the $2,000 second place, and the $1,000 third place. It was very hard, but I will announce that tomorrow. So, Phil, don't let me forget. We've posted the last 10 finalists. The top 10 finalists yesterday, but if you want to see those, but the top three winners will be posted tomorrow at InfoWars.com at about noon or thereabouts, and I will go through those winners here live on air tomorrow. We're going back to your calls here in just a moment. I wish I had the money to pay everybody that entered, but we'd be bankrupt. Just absolutely incredible job to everybody. And the amount of information that got out, the amount of activism, the incredible production quality, all of it, it just blew us away. But we got to be careful about doing these contests now, because before it took hundreds of hours man hours to watch all this. Now it became insane. I mean, just insane. Phil has been spending basically much of his day every day. I've been spending hours every day. And Phil's got graphics to do, and he produces on the show, just trying to go through all this. It's incredible. It is. And I've talked to so many people in Los Angeles, New York, you name it, and D.C., and TV stations and newspapers have picked up on it, who've seen the V for Victory campaign. It's just incredible. So keep it up, folks. And it's an example, if they do try to shut down the web and start curtailing information, of what we can do with flyers. In activism alone, people going up on the sides of fluoride-filled containers at government facilities and spray painting on the side of them that fluoride is rat poison. I mean, it's bold what I've seen, though we don't endorse things that are illegal, even though you're warning people about something that can kill them. How dare you? But I want to tell you about a few sponsors, then we're going right back to your calls. eFoodsDirect.com, just the letter E, foodsdirect.com. This is insurance you can eat, store safely for more than 10 years. Only the best ingredients, all right here in America, except for the bananas. This is the real deal. 30 years in the business. They're patriots. They have the highest quality. It's fresh. It's newly produced every week. And they've got free shipping, which is always one of the biggest costs. They only do this special once or twice a year. They're running free shipping right now, which is just an absolute giant discount at eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread, eFoodsDirect.com. And finally, I want to tell you about endofamericathenumber3.com. That's endofamericathenumber3.com. Stansberry & Associates Investment Research is an independent investment research firm founded in 1999 with subscribers in more than 100 different countries. They have more subscribers than the New York Times, by the way. They recently created an eye-opening video that you can see at endofamericathenumber3.com for free, detailing their biggest and most important prediction yet. Again, check out endofamericathenumber3.com, endofamericathenumber3.com, or banners up on infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. Free video. Go check it out. Hour-long video, a lot of key information. Well, Alex, thank you for getting through and responding to our Twitter request to you as a good source of info in Japan. I'm going to go through, after you leave us, some more of the big developments in Japan. But again, radiation being picked up as far away now as Iceland, according to Reuters. But our media is basically covering it up. The Japanese admit they haven't been able to stop the ongoing meltdowns. They're fearing a complete meltdown, the AP is predicting. The AP is reporting. What is your take on what's happening, Alex?
Well, like other callers have said before, they're not telling us everything. But not only that, but I'm reading right now on JapanToday.com that the industry minister, Banri Kaida, he reportedly forced firefighters to carry out water spraying missions at the power plant. So, you know, they're not telling us the truth, and they're sending their guys out there in the radiation, and they're forcing them. And if they don't go, they just punish them.
Which is not just slavery, it's actually murder. If someone doesn't want to go into a radiation bathed facility with 600,000 fuel rods laying around with internal facilities melting down, I guess you could call them cowards because they signed up to be firefighters, but you certainly can't, and I'm not calling them cowards, but you certainly can't order them in. How about these plant officials and Ann Coulter and everybody that built these reactors on fault lines that tell us radiation's good for us? How about Ann Coulter get a shovel and go in there and scoop up all the deadly radioactive waste? How about she drinks some of it if it's so good? How about we see the government and all the pro-nuclear people, how about they, instead of ordering the firefighters and police in there to their deaths? No doubt it'll take time to kill them, but the head of the plant has admitted this stuff is deadly. It will kill many of those that have been in there. How about all the bureaucrats? How about they all go in there?
Yeah, exactly. And, the locals here, the people, the Japanese people, I mean, they seem all relaxed and like nothing's going on. But you look at all the foreigners, I mean, their home countries are telling them to evacuate. So, I mean, what's that all about? Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm Canadian, and the government's been telling us to go back home. But I look at all my Japanese friends here, and they're like, man, it's okay. The government says it's okay. So,
well, here's the deal.
Worry about.
There's almost, as you know, no stealing in Japan except by the criminal class against the general public. Very few muggings. Stoic, intelligent, brave people when they're ordered. But it also has another name. It's called being servile when they follow orders unto death because of their history of worshiping their emperor that goes back to the shoguns and then the samurai. But what does it tell you to have the Pentagon announcing, CNN reports, U.S. military considers mandatory evacuations from Japan? Now, they're telling us the radiation's low, no big deal, but the military won't get near it. Now, what does that tell you?
Man, it's just scary. It's really, one side says something and the other one says something else. Like, who do we believe? I'm really worried. I don't know if I should go back home or if I should stay in Tokyo. I spent a week back in the south, but I had to come back to work. But I mean, what should I do? No one knows, really.
Are
no,
you the
no
guy that knows. Called the Friday it happened and I told you to run to the south?
No.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's your decision, Alex, but God bless you. We appreciate your call from Japan. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I had something, but I forgot. But I'll just call back again another day.
No. Take a minute. Think about what they were. What was it you wanted to point out about what's happening in Japan?
Like I was saying, the people. I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher, and I teach about 12 lessons a day. And nobody, none of my students are even worried about it. They talk about it, but they just mention the earthquakes. They don't mention, like, the radiation or anything. Like, they don't know anything. Like, people are just blinded by the media and, like, everything's so happy. And it's weird. It's really...
Look at Obama. He's going around like it's no big deal. Hey, March Madness, traveling to South America. Hey, you know, it's just like, hey, all that matters is March Madness.
Yeah, what is that?
It's called people who've been trained to only care about issues of no significance, so they won't be involved in the game of life, so they won't be players in life, so they won't control their own destiny, so the globalists can just program them, and they'll sell their soul for style, for sports, for things that don't matter, and meanwhile, the globalists are obsessed with how things really work and controlling things. Alex, good to hear from you. Charles in California, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. A few quick points, and I can hang up and listen to your response if you prefer. It would be great if you guys did a new story just on the updates of the Gulf cover-up, the ongoing illnesses, and the geological consequences. I think that would really parallel the cover-up that's going on in Japan right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was part of Ventura's TV show on that. Large areas of the bottom of the Gulf are dead. The oil was not dispersed from the surface. It was not cleaned up. It was sent to the bottom with a dispersant. That itself very toxic. Seafood is still testing positive with the toxins. They don't care. They just serve it up to everybody here in America. And it's another giant cover-up, just like they do with everything else.
Yeah, you don't hear anything on mainstream. People have sores.
You don't hear about Haiti, where tens of thousands are still dying. You don't hear anything about the tsunami victims of 6 years ago. You don't hear, that's the point. You don't hear about all the thousands of firefighters and police dying of lung cancers and sinus cancer from the deadly dust they said was safe to breathe, when we now know they premeditatedly lied and knew how deadly it was. They know people have short attention spans.
Exactly. I just wanted to connect that, you know, with the Japan cover-up. Second of all, wasn't there supposed to be a hearing this month on the Obama cert?
The Obama what?
Certificate. I heard there's supposed to be another hearing this month.
Yeah, they've been talking. They've been talking Congress about it. That's something important to check.
Okay. Also, it's important to remind people J.P. Morgan is profiting off the food stamps. And is it true that Goldman Sachs is the only provider that you can buy treasuries from, or is that false?
I believe that's false, but expanding on that, J.P. Morgan, almost all the food stamp systems nationwide for the states and the federal government, because it's all a federal program but distributed by the states, goes through a J.P. Morgan system, and they use foreign Indian operators. So see, under globalism and under federal law, they're supposed to give it to American companies, but they don't. Great points, Charles. Let's go ahead and talk to Trey in Alabama. Trey, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
Good.
Hey, brother. You've heard of, during all the radiation and everything, you've heard about Al-Tawaita nuclear research facility, have you not, in Iraq?
Say that again?
It's Al-Tawaita nuclear research facility. Have you heard about that in Iraq before?
Spell it.
Al-Tawaita, T-U-W-A-I-T-H-A.
I know that there was a reactor bombed by the Israelis in the early 80s. I know there is a lot of DU that's been spread around there, but no, tell me about it.
That's correct. There's actually three reactors there. There's a French, a Russian, and a Turkish. The French was the one they talked about the most. It was called Al-Sirak. Back in 2005, I actually was part of a security team that we had a scientist come in to that area. It was still guarded. It's still to this day guarded by the Israeli... Iraqi defense force there. Walked around with this guy, with a Geiger counter. Many times it was pinged out and everything like that, and we actually went to the top of the reactor, walked around. No protective stuff on. The guy said it was a safe area.
Well, and, see, that's the mind control. They just tell you Chernobyl's safe. They tell you Three Mile Island's safe. They tell you that the Japan Fukushima is safe. And they tell, and I've seen the reports years ago about those bombed out reactors, which obviously, you know, threw up radiation, and they tell you it's safe. And so you're there with a Geiger counter pegged out, and the guy's going, hey, it's safe because they told me so.
Yeah, in fact, some of my guys are, one guy, he's got gout, he has bone density problems now. I have intestinal issues, you know. That'd be a good place to have Ann Coulter come up there and visit. I'd like to take her for a tour, too.
You've already gotten enough. So you just stand outside and you let her go into the old reactor core. And then she can pour water down the side of the rods and then drink it. And then she says it she'll never have cancer. I mean, she says it's magic. It's like magic beans.
Right. And like I said, I mean, he even got to the part where he opened the door and this grayish, bluish powder comes out. I mean, it was finite. And, you know, he's like, oh, we need to get out of here. Well, I mean, I'm already covered waist deep, you know, from when he opened the door. And we're like,
why on earth was this moron giving you a tour? Because he'd been told it was safe?
I guess, you know, and the fact is the same place where, you know, the Iraqi people during the actual invasion, they took the yellow cake barrels that had yellow cake, dumped it into the streams, and they used it for food storage. And it spread out everywhere. I mean, and this thing is still emitting. The wind's blowing. What can you imagine what are, you know, my brothers and sisters over there right now are getting?
Well, I mean, the Pentagon waved a magic wand in 1991 and said, DU's no longer a problem. Radiation's, I mean, before that, you weren't allowed to sit on a munitions can that had DU, Abrams Sabos, or what's the gun in the Bradley? What's the millimeter of that?
25 millimeter.
Yeah, so they have DU that. Now it's served out to 308s, 50 cals. Now they tell you, I mean, when you fire those, as you know, they ignite as they go out the barrel. You get a lethal dose. It'll take 20 years to kill you on average. But, hey, just tell you it's safe, brother. The government cares about you. But when you do die, I hope you don't die, but when people that were exposed do die, it's not going to be a problem, Trey. Because they've taken your wife's death benefits you paid into. Source on that, Bloomberg AP. That's patriotism, though. See, patriotism is robbing the troops, DUing them, and then not complaining, going, I'm an American, good, I like it. Everybody knows, do they?
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows.
But the minute you realize that we've already been captured by fraud, that we're occupied by the offshore banks, then we can set about restoring the republic. But we've got to admit how bad things really are if we're ever going to change things. Knowing is half the battle. A couple of announcements here that I wanted to briefly engage in. And no matter where you live, you should push and get the same thing. Cities in Canada and the U.S. are removing fluoride right now. The EPA's had to admit it is increasing bone cancer, brain damage, and lowering IQs. The Austin City Council Health and Human Services is having a hearing on water fluoridation in about an hour and 5 minutes from now. Get down there, support them, speak. And they're having a huge hearing. And I hope that everybody will get down there to the city council. It's the City Hall, 301 West 2nd Street, Council Chambers, Room 1001, Austin, Texas. Get in there and say, you don't have a right to forcibly medicate us and put deadly sodium fluoride. Let the criminals and government know it's not a joke. The tide is turning against them. There's also a public hearing going on for the next 3 hours on HB 1937 to outlaw the TSA sticking their hands in your pants. That's going on. There's debate on the House floor going on, and they're also in the John H. Reagan building, room 120, meeting right now, fighting the TSA, and that's going on in many other areas. If you want to get down there, that's going on for the next 3 hours, but that fluoride meeting starts in 2 hours. I get a lot of requests to plug local stuff. Thing is, we're a nationwide international show. If I start plugging each city, each county, it would just be kind of an announcement show, but I want to commend the people that are standing up against this and fighting for the truth to get out. Let's talk to Mike in Illinois. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Got a couple of points. One, I have a substance called zeolite. They used 500,000 tons of that in Chernobyl. They used it to decontaminate the reactors, the people, and the soil. If you guys want to look that up, I know you guys like to make sure everything's documented and whatnot.
Tell folks what that is, because I've read about that.
Zeolite is a natural occurring rock that will absorb toxins and heavy metals from your body or from the soil. Back when they had Chernobyl, they were feeding the cookies and biscuits to the kids with this on it. They gave it to the cows to get rid of the radiation in their milk. They put it in the ground to get the radiation out of their soil and their crops. It's quite an amazing thing. And you can buy it in small, you know, they have like little medicine bottles and all that kind of good stuff that cost you a fortune, but you can also buy it by the ton. And, you know, it's just it's an amazing substance that detoxifies things.
All right, we'll check into it.
It reduces radiation as much as 95% in when they used it in the Chernobyl areas.
Okay, anything else?
Yes. You know, with the radiation coming our way, rain... We all know that rain will take radiation out of the air. And I was watching your video report on Ben Livingston.
Yes.
And I was wondering how many planes he's actually got, and actually if he can put a storm front in between the West Coast and this coming radiation. Or
well, he's a meteorologist. He's pretty old now. I don't even know if he still works there. I have to call him for a big weather modification company. But I appreciate your call, sir. Absolutely. We know they have weather modification. There's a lot they could do to try to block the stuff coming in out of Japan. There was an unusually strong storm in the last week between Japan and the United States may have actually caused a lot of the fallout to precipitate into the Pacific Ocean, so that's some good news. It could also be seen as carrying it because the storm continued into the West Coast. That's why they've been dodging raindrops the last 4 or 5 days there in Los Angeles with unusually strong downpours. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this quick break with more of your calls and Ray McGovern today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ray McGovern's actually joining us at the bottom of the hour to get into what's happening in North Africa, the Libya situation. We're going to continue with your phone calls, also get into some U.S. news and world politics, climate and energy, economy, war on terror, police state developments. I'm going to be blitzing through some of that coming up in the next segment and continuing with your phone calls. I looked up what the last caller said about a mineral zeolite that the Russians did use to try to detoxify some of the soils and to try to bind with the radiation at Chernobyl, and they claimed it does have some good effects for that. Thank you, caller, for that information. Who's up next here, John? James in Alaska, going north to Alaska. You're on the air, sir.
How's it going, Alex?
Pretty good.
I just wanted to mention something about HAARP and the tsunami over there. The day before the tsunami, the Northern Lights were out big time, and I also heard rumor that HAARP was wide open the following week and days that led up to the tsunami.
Yeah, I really can't operate off rumors, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Just wanted to mention that.
Well, James, there's no doubt that governments have been working on seismic magnetic weapons. The former Secretary of Defense did admit that back in 97. The issue is we were hit by a record solar storm, and the moon was the closest it had been to the planet in decades. And we know the moon controls the tides. It also manipulates the magnetic field and the magma. It's not just the ocean that it causes to have waves, but also makes the magma bulge towards the moon. And we know Japan has always had big earthquakes and tsunamis. But there's no doubt that HAARP exists. I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I get so many calls saying, well, is it HAARP? Well, I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I was listening to Art Bell, back a few years ago, and he had called HAARP, and he plays this message on his radio. He called HAARP, and he was talking to somebody and asked him, you know, what do you do? And he told him what we did, and they had shot something up into the
ionosphere.
Yeah, and the call stopped, got interrupted, and it was a general who got on with Art Bell and said, you'll be talking to me now.
Well, I have no doubt. I mean, I never heard that, but I appreciate your call. And I keep asking for this, then I keep forgetting to look it up myself. Alex Jones interviews director of HAARP, or head of HAARP. 4.5 years ago, my producer gets a call. The private director of HAARP, the Air Force runs operations. But the private scientist, he wanted to come on the show and dispel rumors. Then when it comes time for the day of the interview, the colonel comes on. He says, I'll be here. If anything classified said, I'm going to cut the interview off until we go to break. And he did cut him off once when he started talking about igniting the upper atmosphere. This was on air. I mean, we ought to find this and at least play that clip. In fact, I'll look for it during the break. I'll do it right now. In fact, I'm going to do it right now before I even go to break. I'm not going to wait anymore. Alex Jones, we got to find that and repost it. Interviews director of HAARP. Alex Jones interviews director of HAARP. And it brings up Coast to Coast, brings up chemtrails. Man, I know. I mean, the show was big then, 4.5 years ago. I know people recorded that. I know. This is crazy. I know we saved all those interviews going back. I know we've got that. Does somebody have it? Could somebody send it to my Twitter account? Twitter.com/RealAlexJones. Alex Jones interviews, how about head of HAARP? I'm tired of, I'm going to find this thing. Warrior calls straight ahead. A lot of news as well. Stay with us.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, I want to run through a ton of important headlines, give you my brief take on them, and then continue with your calls. Ahead of former top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., Ray McGovern, joining us to give us his take on what's happening in Libya right now. Syria protests spread, authorities pull back. The so-called protesters have burned down police stations, government buildings, and telecommunications. They're Western-backed commando al-Qaeda, just like in Libya. But we're not supposed to point that out. Will the UN put a resolution out now about a bombing campaign of Syria? Maybe. Will our government and Congress have nothing to say and just click their heels when they say jump and ask how high? Probably. Unrest spread in southern Syria on Monday with hundreds of people demonstrating against the government in three towns near the main city of Deraa. But authorities did not use force to quell the latest protests. Security forces killed 4 civilians at demonstrations that erupted last week. Of course, yesterday they burned things down in the capital and in other cities. Libya attacks sparks oil price surge. Financial Times of London, global oil prices rose sharply today and into yesterday, yesterday into today, after the initial round of Western bombing against Libya was met by Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's promise to have a long, drawn-out war, which tenders fears will keep the North African oil nation's oil from the market. Continuing with the reports out of Libya, Russia has urged immediate Libyan ceasefire. Also, a U.S. Fighter jet F-15E fighter bomber did crash outside Benghazi in eastern Libya. They're claiming it was technical difficulties. Our aircraft never get shot down. And there I go with mind control that I'm under. It's not our aircraft. The globalist bankers have captured America. They use our good men and women in the military as their cannon fodder, not our military. The U.S. occupied military force of the New World Order had an aircraft go down. Libya, U.S. fighter jet crash lands in field near Benghazi. U.S. warplane has crash landed in Libyan field in an area around Benghazi. The Telegraph can disclose. U.S. government now confirms that an F-15E fighter bomber did crash outside of Benghazi. And Gates has now announced that they are going to cut back on the amount of air sorties into the country and cruise missile attacks, whatever that signifies, because I guess the NATO coalition is falling apart right now. Gaddafi again shells rebel towns with U.S. plane down. Muammar Gaddafi's forces attacked two West Libyan towns, killing dozens while rebels were pinned down in the east, and NATO tried to resolve a heated fight over who should lead Western air campaign. So that continues. Gold is key to financing Gaddafi's struggle, Financial Times of London reports. The international community has hit Muammar Gaddafi with a raft of sanctions and asset freezing amid the cutting off of his funding. But the embattled Libyan leader is sitting on a pot of gold. The Libyan Central Bank, which is under Colonel Gaddafi's control, holds 143.8 tons of gold. That's enough to operate for a long time. According to the latest data from the International Monetary Fund, although some suspect the true amount could be several tons higher, those reserves are among the top 25 in the world and are worth $6.5 billion at current prices. This is only going to hurt the Libyan people, enough to pay a small army of mercenaries for months or even years. While some central banks hold their gold reserves in internal vaults in London, New York, or Switzerland, Libya's bullion is in the country, said people familiar with the country's activities in the gold market. Continuing, allies expand Libyan military campaign. The debate, the command, but that's countermanded by the report that they're actually going to cut back the military campaign. This is the big news. Medvedev, that's the Russian president, breaks ranks with Putin over Libya. Russia adjusted today to a shift in its policies after President Dmitry Medvedev, for the first time, broke ranks with Vladimir Putin by slamming the premier's comments on the Libyan conflict in an unexpected dispute that shattered 3 years of harmony in Russia's ruling tandem. Medvedev publicly rebuked Putin for comments comparing the UN resolution that allowed airstrikes on Libya to a medieval call to a crusade. Putin said the resolution was flawed, an example of an increasing trend of U.S. military intervention, in direct contradiction of Russia's decision to abstain in the vote, which in essence allowed the resolution to be passed. Analysts said the comments essentially marked the start of Russia's 2012 presidential election campaign, where many expect Putin to seek to return to the Kremlin after handing over the presidency to Medvedev in 2008. A grim-faced Medvedev told Russians on state television that using words such as crusade, expeditions by armies in the Middle Ages to end Muslim rule over the Holy Land in reference to a Muslim country was unacceptable. He, quote, said, "Under no circumstances is it acceptable to use expressions which essentially lead to a clash of civilizations such as a crusade and so on," Medvedev said in a hastily convened briefing. "It is unacceptable. Otherwise, everything may end up much worse compared to what's going on now. Everyone should remember that," Medvedev said. All right, so there you go. Continuing, National Journal reports during Gates' visit to Russia, Russian defense minister calls for immediate ceasefire and says that civilians are being killed, which was roundly rebuked by Secretary Gates, calling it lies. Calling it lies. Outright lies is the full quote. Okay, let me continue with some of the other news, and then we will get back to your phone calls ahead of Ray McGovern coming up, who's going to be joining us. It is confirmed by the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point that Al-Qaeda is the group that is in Iraq and also out of Libya, and that basically that is the group working with NATO and the UN, giving the U.S. orders now to attack Gaddafi. So those of you that hate Gaddafi, I'm not saying he's some angel. He's certainly not. Now you're working with al-Qaeda. That's also in the Asian Tribune, and it's also in the London Telegraph headline. The West and al-Qaeda are on the same side, and that it's al-Qaeda attacking him. That is Muammar Gaddafi. Let's do this. Let's just go to some more calls, and I'll get into some new developments on the radiation situation in Fukushima, clearly being covered up, talk of completely evacuating Americans from Japan, the island of Japan, and some economic news I want to hit. But right now, let's go to Eric in Canada. Eric, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Good talking to you. I just want to float an idea about how to get the troops back home. It's about a boycott on driving, like we should have a no-driving summer where we'll just be walking, biking, or using public transit and avoiding the use of all petroleum products.
Well, for whoever can do that, that's a great boycott to teach the globalists we don't need them. The problem is they've built the United States and Canada in a sprawling way, whether you love it or hate it. That's how we're designed, and I have to commute, you know, 25, 30 minutes into work every day. And, you know, my office is out in the middle of an industrial complex. There aren't even really neighborhoods near here. So, I mean, what does somebody like me do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, ride a bicycle or...
ride a bicycle 20 miles.
Use, maybe use alternate fuels if you can, or I don't know. I mean, it's something we should maybe think about.
Well, I'm all about trying to move off the grid. I'm actually got my own water well, putting in solar. I've moved, and so that's a great point.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
Thank you. It just people don't have the time, the energy, the capital to do this. It's taken me years to get to this point. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike in California. Mike, you're on the air. He dropped off. Joe in Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How's it going? I have a comment about the collapsing of NATO. Wouldn't it, the collapsing of NATO from a globalist point of view be essential as far as the chess game is concerned in the defeat of America, our country, when we eventually renege on our debt to China and we're attacked by them?
NATO is a Bilderberg Group created organization even before Bilderberg officially began. It was set up by those very individuals. They love it. NATO is the army of the UN. So I see this as a greedy gamble by NATO to expand its power and set the precedent through the UN to boss all these NATO members, including the U.S. around. I see it more of a balance of power. The globalists want to use the West and NATO as a counterbalance to China while they invest in both sectors.
Okay, I see. All right. Other than that, my only other comment on what happened in Japan was that was obviously a layer cake of disaster. I mean, a plant on a fault with radioactive rods on, I mean, on top of it. It's just we were discussing it with some friends, and I can't see how else you could set up a recipe for disaster. I mean, what
Japan, they have the tsunamis caused by the earthquakes in one of the worst fault zones on a fault line on the coast where you have the tsunamis in a rural area where there's not a lot of support, and then storing 39 years of nuclear waste on top of the explosive facilities.
Ridiculous. You know, you couldn't do it any,
it shows,
do it any better.
It shows how reckless the globalists are with genetic engineering, GMO, weapon systems, DU. They're crazy. They're nihilistic lunatics.
Right. And another comment: if you know, as far as you know, these political think tanks that make people fight between Republican and Democrat, which basically split human views: conservative, liberal, libertarian, humanitarian. I think, you know, what we should do is, you know, if they want people to fight, I mean, we should fight in a peaceful way to sort of end all this mayhem and, you know, come to a realization as to what's really going on in our country.
Well said, Joe, and he boiled it down so succinctly. They break everything into left-right to make certain issues left, certain issues right, so they can then control the debate and give you a false choice. They keep you in a box of Republican-Democrat and say, oh, it's conservative to like wiretapping. We have covered HARP hundreds and hundreds of times in my 16 years on air. I've interviewed Dr. Nick Begich dozens of times. We're one of the only shows I know of that ever got the director, project manager of HARP on the show. And we were successful in finding the interview. And it's from June 24th, 2008. Dr. Paul Kossey, K-O-S-S-E-Y. Tomorrow we'll play part of that interview. But I've got Aaron Dykes in the next 10 minutes at Infowars.com, who is set to post the full three-hour, I think it was four-hour show, MP3, with the hour interview with Dr. Paul Kossey, the civilian head of HARP. And I haven't had time to re-listen to it, but I remember the Air Force colonel breaking in and things during the breaks and on air, just cutting the call off. We had to go to break and say, why aren't you there? And he came on and talked to us. And he did start talking about igniting the atmosphere at night. And so you, the listeners, are welcome to go listen to it, grab clips of it, put it on YouTube. It's a big interview that never got the attention it should have. But people tune in randomly one time to the show and say, I see this stuff constantly on the web. Alex never talks about the Federal Reserve. Alex never talks about HARP. Alex never talks about the New World Order. Alex never talks about the Vatican. Alex never talks about this or that. I talk about it all. Talk about everything. It's just a long show, 3 to 4 hours every day. We always do three, sometimes 4 hours in overdrive. We cover the full spectrum. And this is a big interview. Big interview. We're going to get it up on Infowars.com the next 10 minutes for everybody. Program manager, the scientific director of the HARP information. I remember I had his whole bio at the time. I read it out at the start of the interview. And so that's the, I don't know if he's the director now, but I've told Jaron and the other producers I want to get. They contacted us and wanted to dispel rumors. And when they came on, it was, you know, pretty revealing. And they wouldn't let Ventura in there. They contacted us as some type of psych warfare op, I guess, because he's a listener. Anthony in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I want to talk about something I saw in the coverage of the Fukushima thing. And then, if you would allow it, I have a comment on something Nick Begich said last week on your show. When the first reactor exploded, you know, typical or obvious, all the stations are showing the same footage over and over and over again, the loop of the explosion. I noticed after a couple hours, they edited that footage across the board. Every station started showing the footage, but without the actual explosion. And I thought that was kind of odd. I wanted to show it to my wife when she got home. I had it recorded just by circumstance, so I put on the recording of it. And when I put on the recording, I went frame by frame, and I noticed what I first thought was just a pressure wave coming out of the reactor. It appeared to be concentrated, almost cylindrical in shape, coming out to the left. And when I went frame by frame, inside that cylindrical kind of translucent, what I thought was a pressure wave, which it may be, I don't know, it's sort of like a cup shape, like a diaphragm shape that's a little more opaque than the wave itself. But the odd thing is, as it rushes away from the reactor, before it leaves the screen, and if it was just a pressure wave, it would just continue on and expand, it disappears, like somebody flipped a switch. And so I was wondering, I was going to ask Nick Begich if perhaps that could have been something that some type of beam or HARP. I know there are those that believe there was some kind of secret weapon used like
well,
that.
Well, a lot of times explosions, cupcake, you know how a cupcake goes up small and then kind of hangs over the sides? A lot of times in pressure waves, they go out and then the pressure turns back in and they'll actually suck in. I mean, I think if we start, again, just speculating that you know, they're using space beams or whatever on it, it looks like a classic explosion from hydrogen that then ejected the fuel rod stored on top of the MOX Mark I reactor thousands of feet into the air. And you can see that going on. They now admit that happened. Now, what was your comment about Nick Begich?
Well, reading between the lines, not that he was trying to be deceptive at all, you asked him his opinion because people keep calling you about HARP, and you've methodically told people, look, it's all speculation, I can't really say, which I appreciate. But one of the things he mentioned in his sort of just commenting on it, he used the word triggered. And I wondered if with the supermoon, so-called, and the super flares from the sun, the X flares.
No, he said that that's what HARP's designed to do, is that when they already have the the conditions right for an earthquake, that HAARP can then be that trigger that pushes it over the edge.
Yeah,
I don't think that was hidden what he said. He said it straight out.
Right. No, I'm saying he said it straight out. I'm just saying he wasn't like saying, I think it could be a trigger. He just used the word trigger. If you get a chance, look at that footage of the explosion again. I appreciate what you said, the cupcake effect, but it looks really odd how it just completely blinks out of the picture. And the fact that they edited the footage, because that's the money shot, not to be disrespectful.
Well, I know this. I've caught Fox every day when I watch. When they show Fukushima, they show it. File footage before the disaster, and they're nice painted buildings, people walking around, and Americans are watching them thinking, well, that's no big deal. Meanwhile, you see real photos and videos, it's blown into bits with a bunch of shattered buildings, the reactor buildings. We'll be right back with Ray McGovern on what's happening in Libya with his expert take. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
For joining us, we're in the last 30 minutes of this worldwide broadcast. Ray McGovern is our guest. Ray McGovern is a retired CIA officer and political activist. McGovern was a federal employee under seven U.S. presidents in over 27 years. He presented the morning intelligence briefings to Ronald Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, and he was seen as one of the senior analysts in the CIA with wide spectrum knowledge of what was happening geopolitically around the world. He, of course, is very well known for confronting Rumsfeld and saying, you said that the WMDs were into Crete. Rumsfeld said, I did not say that. And then he said, well, here's the evidence. And then Rumsfeld got skewered in the media. He also predicted a year before that Cheney would try to stage a Gulf of Tonkin event off the coast of Iran with fake attacks on aircraft carriers. That indeed then did materialize. It's an amazing source of information. And he's also against all of these globalist wars. Ray, what is your bottom line take on what's happening in Libya, on the report here out of West Point, also being picked up by Asian Tribune, that it is al-Qaeda that is being used to go after Gaddafi, who's obviously not a good guy himself. But here's the London Telegraph. The West and al-Qaeda on the same side. Statements of support by Libya's revolution by al-Qaeda and leading Islamists have led to fears that military action by the West might be playing into the hands of ideological enemies. We have the Fox News headline. Anwar al-Awlaki, exclusive head of al-Qaeda, leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. He's the patsy minder with his secret army. What is al-Qaeda? What's happening in the Middle East? Why is this now happening? Why did an F-15E crash over Benghazi? There's so many questions. Ray, thanks for coming on with us.
Well, you're most welcome. There are a lot of questions, and it's supremely questionable as to whether we should be doing what we're doing in Libya. You know, the one thing that comes through very clearly is the fact that the hypocrisy that the U.S. has demonstrated in dealing with these Arab governments knows no bounds. Just go back a month or two and look at Egypt. Now, when Mubarak started to have problems, Hillary Clinton was very quick to say, it's a stable government. You know, they're our friends. I've been to dinner with the Mubarak's and all that business. And they were all waiting to see what the army would do in Egypt. Okay. Now, the army, thank goodness, did the right thing. They didn't break up the demonstrators, and the tide turned. And as soon as the tide turned, then we have this back and forth. Obama saying, well, now we support democracy. Now maybe Mubarak ought to go. So it was terribly cynical. They waited to see which way the wind was blowing, and then all of a sudden they supported democracy. Now, let's take a look at what's happening in Libya. In Libya, we're ostensibly intervening to protect civilians, right? Now, how do you protect civilians by bombing Tripoli, by trying to hit Gaddafi's palaces? It's a adventure here, there's no end in sight, nor will there be for many, many months. Meanwhile, and this is the real bottom line here, in places that really matter to us more than even Libya, that is Bahrain and Yemen, what are we doing there? Well, we not only waited to see what the army would do in Bahrain, for example, but we encouraged not only the Bahrainian security police and army, but also the Saudis to intervene in Bahrain and shoot up the demonstrators. So this time we're on the side of the government. Why? Well, very simple. Bahrain affords facilities that look like San Diego on steroids. I mean, that's where the whole Fifth Fleet is. That's the fleet that we have in the Persian Gulf. The other end of the Persian Gulf is Yemen. What are we doing there? Well, the authorities are shooting up the people. We're supporting the authorities. Why? Because Yemen is a very, very strategic position, and also the authorities allow our special forces to do whatever they want, our drones to do anything that they want in Yemen. So any Arab, any Egyptian, let's say, any Syrian, or even any Jordanian, Palestinian, looking on would say, my goodness, what kind of a policy is being waged out of Washington? We have non-interference where it should be on the side of the Democrats. And then we have interference with on behalf of whom? Well, we don't know on behalf of whom. Barack Obama has let himself be railroaded, be pressured into intervening into Libya, where there are enormous uncertainties. We don't know how deeply the forces will be committed, how long. We don't even know the identities of many of the rebels on whose behalf we're intervening. We don't know what the intervention is going to likely accomplish. We don't even know what it's intended to accomplish or how it will end. You know, this is about as stupid as you can get. Now, besides all that, we have a constitutional process in this government, or we're supposed to. We have a constitution that says that the power to make war is reserved to the representatives of the people in the Congress, not the executive. And yet, what did Barack Obama do? Well, he checked around with the UN. He got support in the UN. But did he get support in the Congress? He didn't even check with the Congress. He went off and did this all by himself. That's unconstitutional, and it's an impeachable offense. So, you know, here we have a president acting very much in the tradition, the very recent tradition of his predecessor, George W. Bush, where the president can pretty much just support or commit our forces to feckless adventures such as the one that's just begun in Libya. Mark my words, this will have a no good end.
Ray McGovern, top retired CIA analyst. We're seeing Gates come out and say that we're going to cut air power and strikes. But then separately, NATO and the Pentagon announce, even though he's the supposed head of the Pentagon, that they're intensifying the strikes in the same hour. We see the Germans not being part of this, the Turks not being part of it. We see Medvedev and Putin fighting with each other, Putin saying it's bad, Medvedev rebuking him for calling it a foolish crusade. I mean, this doesn't have, you know, the normal polished look of a new war. It does seem to be very helter-skelter, very confused. Now, I mean, is there some method to the madness, A, and how do you, from studying history, see this ending? What are the different scenarios?
Well, the only method in this madness, so to speak, would be the three-letter word, O-I-L. Libya, of course, has lots of oil. Not only that, but it's the kind of pure oil that requires very little refining, and Western Europe is very much dependent on that oil. Now, the rest of the world is not so much dependent, but Western Europe is. So here we have oil being a primary consideration, as it is a primary consideration with how we're dealing with Bahrain and Yemen also, because that oil, 40% of the oil traded in international trade goes through the Strait of Hormuz, and of course the Fifth Fleet is there to make sure that it does. So in Libya, we have a situation where Gaddafi sits on top of all this oil. He's only got, I think, 4 million people in the country. So it should be let's get involved, and then we'll find out who these people are that we're protecting, and maybe they're not Al-Qaeda, or maybe they are, but anyhow, we'll be in there, and then we can work our will, get Gaddafi out of there, and make sure that the oil in Libya is safe for Western Europe. That's pretty much it. You know, it's seldom so simple, but when you put oil on top of your reasons for either intervening or not intervening, it all makes sense in a very, very cynical kind of way, because, as you know, the world is running out of oil, and we've got to garner more than our share.
Well, expanding on that with Ray McGovern, Ray, looking at this, how do you see it ending? I mean, I had two questions there, but I mean, how do you, you know, looking into your crystal ball, I know it's not 100%, but studying past history, the region, the bold, I've never seen a president move this quick to just ignore Congress and let the other nine that voted for it basically control our foreign policy, unprecedented there. Totally unconstitutional. Republicans' mom, Democrats' mom, except for a few anti-war Democrats raising the Constitution. And you then have the unconstitutional, I know there's an executive order against trying to assassinate people. It's also international law. They now basically admit that they did try to target Gaddafi with cruise missiles and bombs. I mean, this is quite an escalation.
Well, it is. And I guess you mentioned the word bold to describe Obama's quick reaction here. In my view, there's a thin line between bold and irresponsible. I go on the irresponsible side to characterize this ill-considered intervention.
So you're saying it's brash, it's not thought through.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think we're really pretty much saying the same thing, but it's also irresponsible in the sense that it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, here he says that the objective of the operation, that is Obama, is limited to, quote, the protection of citizens, of civilians in Libya. Well, so that objective is, by nature, unlimited in duration. You know, as long as civilians need to be protected in Libya, then we have, quote, a right under the Supreme, under the president's statement to stay there.
Well, Ray, to interrupt, Hillary also said, and so was Obama in statements, you will accept an international aid force that will obviously be armed, NATO, UN, backed up by the Western powers, or else. Well, I mean, that right there is saying you will accept an invasion, a ground invasion, and they've got the troop ships off the coast.
Yeah, it's... You know, the important thing here is the end game and the what's going to happen at the very end, and that's really very much up for grabs. Admiral Mullen apparently admitted on the Sunday TV shows that he could end up, you know, it's just could end up with Gaddafi still in power. And so if Gaddafi's still around, have we still accomplished the mission? What is the mission accomplished? There can be no declaration of a mission accomplished as long as our objective is to protect the civilians in Libya. The reality on the ground is that we mean to get rid of Gaddafi. We couldn't get the others at the Security Council to agree to that kind of language, but we're going to do it anyway. And please, please, don't talk about international law. Don't you remember we're the supreme, with this the sole remaining superpower in the world? We don't have to worry about international law. If the Europeans will cooperate with us on this because they have more at stake of it than we do because of the oil from Libya. So it's a very cynical sort of set of circumstances, and the long-term effects of this will be that any Arabs that have any conscience or a sense of fairness will look at this and say, see, that's what we thought the Americans were like. You can't trust them, and by, we're going to get rid of those corrupt kings in Bahrain and Yemen, and we're going to have those places to our own, and then we'll see what kind of influence the U.S. will have in this part of the world. It's a losing game. I can't believe that Obama is being so naive.
Yeah, totally going away from soft power. at a time when the military is spread so thin. What about the terror card? We're seeing unbelievable hype starting last Friday that if Gaddafi was struck, and he's now been struck via the resolution and the bombardments intensifying, that he will launch terror attacks in Western Europe and the U.S. Now, A, do you think Gaddafi would try to play a card like that, even though he gave up most of his terror networks? And B, could this be the open door for a false flag to legitimize the war? Because people won't pay attention to the fact that it was started by the West. So will he actually carry out an attack? Or could the West stage something to legitimize a full invasion and the further crackdown on liberty in the West?
Well, Alex, that's always a possibility. In these circumstances, I don't think the West has its act together to the degree that they're able to do that just now. They may end up doing that. But what you point out very specifically is the ridiculous argument here that Gaddafi is a really bad guy because he might unleash terrorists on us. That's backwards. Why would he unleash terrorists on us? Well, because of what NATO or the NATO countries involved are doing to Libya. So if you don't want to encourage terrorist acts against your country, then maybe you ought not to be flying sorties and bombing the country and trying to take out the leader of the country. Yeah, it's a big fillip. It's a big catalyst for terrorism, what we're doing. And when people say, well, why do they hate us? Well, you know, if you want to buy the line that they hate our democracy or our freedom, well, you know, I got a bridge up in Manhattan that I'd really like to sell you. It connects Manhattan with Brooklyn, you know. But what they hate is our policy. And our policy is determined first and foremost by our need for oil. Secondly, but a close second, is our felt need to do everything the Israelis tell us to do. And thirdly, to have the permanent military bases. The Fifth Fleet being in Bahrain.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. How is Israel involved in all this from your research?
Well, you know, so far, I think they've been looking on rather helplessly. Usually they're pretty much in command, but things have moved so fast that they have not been able to keep up with it just yet. The bottom line is that this is a disaster. This whole thing is a disaster for Israel, especially the Egypt democracy here.
Well, it reminds me of Bay of Pigs, where you've got Western-backed rebels. We know British SAS in there trying to wrangle them and control them and sometimes getting arrested because it shows they don't have full control. These are Al-Qaeda-funded groups, a lot of them out of Saudi Arabia with Western money. That's admitted that some contingents are. With all of this happening, it's like Bay of Pigs. The rebels are there. They're getting beat. We've got to go in and help them. I mean, isn't that kind of what's happening?
Yeah, the only uncertainty here, and it's a big one, is who are these rebels? You know, nobody seems to know. And one thing you can bet, you didn't mention Mossad, the Israeli Secret Service, you can bet that they're in their big time and will do what they can to steer things in the right direction as far as their interests are concerned.
Stay there, Ray McGovern. I want to come back in a final segment and ask what their interests are, what Mossad scurrying around in the area would do. Also, this U.S. aircraft shot down. They claim we didn't have any regular aircraft over it that weren't drones, only using cruise missiles from bombardment. I think F-15E is a fighter bomber. So we're going to talk to Ray McGovern about that on the other side. Stay with us. Consortiumnews.com, that's where you can read Ray's great analysis and reportage. One of the places he writes, also he respects the analysis there. Our websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Obviously, tomorrow I'll be talking more about this CNBC headline that we've got linked up on Infowars.com. U.S. approaching insolvency, fixed to be painful. That's the Dallas head of the Federal Reserve. The bankers have bankrupted us, but more wars. Briefly, Ray McGovern, finishing up with Israeli policies, what they see their interest being.
Well, it's not an exaggeration, Alex, to say that there's a completely new strategic situation facing Israel in that part of the world. You see, if you go back to the treaty, the very important treaty that Egypt signed with Israel, That was supposed to be the first step. Jimmy Carter forced that through against great opposition on the part of the Israelis, and there was going to be even more opposition when he forced through phase two, which was to address the grievances of the Palestinians and help them to set up a decent state. Now, when he was non-reelected, the Israelis did everything they could to non-reelect him. Then they sabotaged any subsequent effort, and what Jimmy Carter started never got completed or never got continued. What we had was a situation where for 32 years, Mubarak became not only the U.S. patsy in that part of the world, but Israel's patsy. Suleiman, his number two, or the head of his intelligence, he was called Israel's best friend, okay? So what do we have now? Now we have a very different situation. Now we have the prospect of a real democracy in Egypt. What does that mean? Well, a real democracy is responsive to the sentiments, to the thoughts and objectives of the people. Now, how do the Egyptians feel about the Palestinians, the ones in Gaza, the ones in the West Bank, who have been treated this way by the Israelis? They feel very strongly about that.
They might start giving aid to Gaza.
That's exactly right. And so, whereas for 32 years, the Israelis have been able to do what they wanted with respect to Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, you name it, now they have to worry about their southern and their western borders. Now it's no longer assumed that they can just do what they want in Gaza. And that's a biggie. And so the Israelis must be very, very concerned about this. We see in their statements that they are indeed. And they'll do everything they can in Libya to try to force things into the kind of channel that will give them some leverage, not only in Libya, but in Egypt as well. But it's going to be an uphill struggle, and they're going to have to readjust their policy if they want to.
We're almost out of time. In 1 minute, what's your view on Fukushima?
Well, you know, I think the thing that really leaps out at me is the revelation in the WikiLeaks cables that the Japanese and others were warned 3, 4, 5 years ago that this might happen, and nothing was done. So what you have here are some people making a heck of a lot of money on these nuclear power stations and having very little regard for the welfare, actually for the very lives of the people who live around it. This is not atypical. We see that in our own country. Even now, we see people proposing and suggesting that we go ahead with more power plants, nuclear type.
You know, it shows really the brazen hubris.
Yeah, and it sort of means that we have to get out on the street and put our bodies into it here, because nothing seems to work, because the money is going to those people that are elected to represent us, and they're not representing us.
Well, they're even covering up the severity of it. That's admitted. Ray McGovern, thank you so much for spending time with us and adding your excellent analysis.
You're most welcome.
All right, there goes Ray McGovern. This transmission is now drawing to an end. I'll be back live, Lord willing, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Pray for us. Please spread the word about the broadcast. I want to thank all of our AM and FM affiliates, our sponsors, the great crew, you, the listeners. All of you make it possible. We're making major headway. God bless you all. Key Ray transmission starts now, InfoWars.com.